The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hey, everybody, welcome to my brother, me, an advice show for the modern era. My name is Justin McElroy, and I'm your oldest brother of the show.
My name is Travis McElroy, and I'm your middlest brother of the show.
And I'm your sweet baby brother, Griffin McElroy. Boys, it's good to have you here. I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak to the both of you today.
Thank you, Griffin. I'm glad we could be here for you.
I forgot how we do it. This ain't how we do it. This isn't how we do it.
Justin, I have great news for you, though, and that is that we don't have to stay in the podcast game anymore because I've discovered a new exciting career opportunity that I think the three of us can spearhead together. I've been working on it for the past 48 hours, and I'm already a multi-dollarair, and I think that I can grab the two of you and I can bring you up with me up this success ladder.
Is it gambling? Because I've been doing that already.
No, God, you're not on that fucking FanDuel, are you?
We can talk about it later.
Yeah, we can. Yeah, we're going to talk about that shit later, Travis. No, it's not gambling because gambling assumes a risk of failure. This is a 100%
It's a guaranteed proven system.
Proven system. Boys, I'd like to talk to the two of you about joining me in becoming a beauty-tainer.
Excuse me?
Now, what's a beauty-tainer?
A beauty-tainer is, of course, a secondhand retailer of the cosmetic line belonging to one Miss Tyra Banks. She has a new cosmetic line, and it's called Tyra, and she's looking for, and guys, the hard part is going to be getting on board, because the audition process is rigorous. But if you can get on board, you can join me in selling these Tyra Beauty products to your friends, to your colleagues. You can have tie-tie parties house.
And I will.
You can give people their...
I already have tie-tie parties, so it's really encouraging for me that I'm going to be able to sell merch.
Uh-huh. You're gonna get something out of these tie-tie parties because they're expensive to put on, aren't they? Getting salon people in there to give people that tie-tie chop and bartenders to make my tie-ties. Listen, it's going to be... I almost said risky, but it's not risky. It's guaranteed. I've made $16 in the past 48 hours.
Wow, you know just what like that.
Do you know what that translates to?
No.
It's pennies. Pennies on the hour.
Pennies on the hour, guys. But do you know how many hours you have in a week? 525,600.
Well, Griffin, let me ask you this. So you're already a beauty tainer, so you should be able to answer this question. What is it? What sets this product apart from all the rest?
It's gonna make your whole gut pop.
Whoa. Is popping guts back?
Yeah. Your gut, it's gonna pop, and your face is gonna sweep.
And that's good.
Yeah, that's like a word that Tyra, every week, Tyra sends you a letter in the mail, and it just has like a new Tyra-ism in it. And this week, it's like, make that face sweep.
Now, can you give me a spelling, just a quick spell check on that, so I can add it to my dictionary?
Yeah.
My auto-correct?
S-W-E-W-P. It's pretty much phonetically pronounced
sweep.
Yeah, you've got it. Just so you sound like a regular beauty tainer yourself.
Griffin, is there any upfront cost to getting
that's
on
exactly
board?
What I was going to ask. Thank you, Travis.
$35,000.
$35,000. That very reasonable.
One-time fee. Cool. One-time fee, though. And it's like the title doesn't go away. Once you become a grandmaster chess player, you're always a grandmaster for
life. A one-time only fee per year, right?
Yeah. That's what I meant.
Per annum.
Yeah, you only have to pay it once every calendar year. But if you don't pay it, they actually do come to your house and they take away all your beauty tainer credentials. But I feel good about myself for the first time in a long time. And that might just be because I am completely just fucking covered in the stuff.
Oh, so you're high on your own supply.
Yeah, well, I've got $35,000 fucking dollars worth of creams and salves, and there's sparkle, there's a sparkle element to it, and I look fucking incredible. I feel like $1 million, but it's, I feel like actually I probably have about $600 worth of creams and salves on me at this exact moment. Anyway, I want to talk to the two of you. Maybe we can do it after the podcast, because I sense your hesitance, but I want to turn that, I want to turn that hesitance into fucking glamour. Prestidigitation.
Like presidents like the Bills.
I want the two of you to become the presidents of America.
Okay.
I don't think that Tyra can help with that.
No, I think she can. I think this is the first
step. She has a lot of power.
Tyra Banks is an inspiration, my daughter will say in the speech to her civics class in 10th grade. Tyra Banks is an inspiration. She was our nation's first fabulous president.
That is true. She was our sixth female president.
Sixth female.
But she was the first one that was like really fucking rocking it. Did anybody watch Friday's episode of ANTM 2.2?
I'm a little behind.
Yeah. You're a little behind. Okay. Well, she does a whole music video promoting her line of products, and there's the chorus of it. Can I perform it for you now? Because we have to perform it every time we hold a party.
Please do.
And by party, I mean enclave. That's what she says to call them. Anyway, the song goes, work the hallway like a runway. Work that hallway like a runway. Excuse me, Miss Banks? Excuse me, Miss Banks? What do you mean? Hallway like a runway?
Griffin, I guarantee, let me take you behind the curtain to where they were writing this hit single.
Yes, please.
I want to reference a runway, but Miss Banks, like, not everybody has access to a runway. Well, can anybody find a hallway? Yes. Okay, so we'll just make it like a hallway is like a runway.
Except it's not, because it's like enclosed and there's nowhere for people to sit and snap pictures and you're
That's
alone.
Why you have to make the hallway like a runway.
Can you
Come
imagine
on, Steven.
If you're at a dinner party and you're waiting on the bathroom and then just coming down the hall from the bathroom, you saw the host of the party just working it, you would think they were insane.
Yep. Or if you saw like a 16-year-old kid walking down a hallway at school, just like working it like they were on a runway, they're going to be shunned.
I wanted to like warm you guys up to the fact that whenever we're together and you see me moving between a narrow chamber between rooms and I'm just fucking on my grind.
Griffin won't even acknowledge hallways anymore. He just calls them shitty runways.
Yeah, enclosed runway cages.
One of my best friends is an incredibly cheerful and positive person, like relentlessly so. I am fairly with my outlook on life and appreciate her disposition, although at times it can be very overwhelming. How can I tell her to tone down the sunny side without sounding like a total monster? Overcast in Omaha, bad news, it's too late.
It's like...
You already sound like a total monster.
Yeah, yes. you've come to the wrong place.
I think the reason you have a problem figuring out how to say it is because, like, there is no reason to say... Like, play that out. Like, hey, Debbie, don't be so happy. Like that.
Yeah,
how
like
do you,
it doesn't make sense. I mean, think about it.
How does it negatively affect you at all?
How cool is your life that you're not just like feeding off of people like that relentlessly? Like
you gotta feed. Do you not realize that that's maybe you don't realize that that's the secret? Is you have to be a joy leech, hanging off of the fatty flesh of your happy friends.
You are not harvesting enough. That's the problem. Yeah. The problem is with you. You are supposed to come at like the little bird and peck the joy from between her teeth, like the rhino.
You know, and that's good for both of you, because then she gets her teeth cleaned and you get a little bit of happiness chunks.
Do you know that song Rainbow Connection?
Yes.
That song is literally about like a virulent proboscis that you just jam into your happy friends and you sustain yourself.
Yeah, you are the pilot fish to her shark of joy. You need to just clean that joy off. If she has an overabundance, it's because you're not getting you're not filling your quota of just draining it.
But listen, don't change too much because she's also feeding off your sorrow. And that's important. If it wasn't for that, she would just be dancing in the street.
I think we've basically just described the plot of Inside Out, right? Like that's the like happiness, sadness go together.
Film.
And we've also described like the truth about cats and dogs. There's a lot.
Must love dogs. All dogs go to heaven.
Air Bud 1 through 6.
I just don't see why it's important to you to, like...
Unless she's cheerful at, like, the exact wrong times.
Oh, boy.
Like, okay. A friend, like, has just, like, had their car totaled, or, like, a loved one passed away, and she's like, awesome, great, totally cool, you guys!
You didn't say she's unbalanced.
But they said at times, overwhelming.
Yeah. They just watched the harrowing documentary, Dear Zachary. And then it's...
Good one, TV program!
Classic.
I could also see, though, in if everybody's like, oh, do you want to order a pizza? And she just is like, it's the greatest thing, where it can, I could see it coming across as very insincere if she's overly cheerful and excited about everything.
But that's on you. If a person's being sincere and you think they're being insincere, that is not a them problem. That is a you problem.
But is that a conversation you could have where, like, if you're that excited about everything, then you're that excited about nothing? Like, you have to vary it up and
Why not be senselessly joyful? Why not just be completely happy about what we all used to be fucking stoked about pizza? We all used to get that stoked about pizza, and she has somehow preserved that. And for you to come around and try to snatch that from her hand. It's a sin. It's sinful. If you say someone's over, like, my friend is really happy, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. You sound like Lydia from Beetlejuice. you have to just lighten up a little bit.
I agree.
I agree too. How about a Yahoo?
Wait, is that? I don't want to be. Oh man, I don't know. I don't want to be like callous or hurt somebody's feelings.
Like, no, you are the way you are. It's just like I understand that this is not a.
You're okay. Let me put it to you this way: if this is genuinely a problem for you, the onus is on you to distance yourself from this person, not to try to fucking bring them down. Like,
or to hang out with them at appropriately cheerful times.
When you're in a good groove, you got that radiation vibe you're grooving on. You're gonna call her up. Get out there in the sun, get some mochas, and just have a day.
And if you find yourself in a situation where she's, like, super cheerful about something, try to see it how she sees it, and maybe you're like, you know what, there is a lot of good in this situation.
People like this are fucking magic. They're real-life magic, and you've got to surround yourself with as many of them as you possibly can. Build yourself a flesh barrier with these happy SOBs. You need it. We all need it. How about a Yahoo?
Yeah.
This Yahoo was sent in by Game Recognized Game Rachel Sperling. Thank you, Rachel. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Oh, they're anonymous. And for good reason, based on this question. It was posted in Education and Reference, Higher Education, University Plus. Have you guys started University Plus yet?
Oh, no, I wasn't willing to pay the subscription fee.
Yeah, you got to pay a subscription fee, but they let you keep your level and
I haven't found all the collectibles in university.
From the original university. Anyway. This anonymous Yahoo asker, let's call him BJ, asks.
Nice.
Come on. BJ asks, do colleges look at Yahoo Answers? And if they did, I have asked some very personal questions, such as when I did vape. Now, I just there's a lot.
His test scores are out of this world. Lots of really great extracurricular. What's this?
Wait a minute. When
did vape?
When he did vape? He's also spelled vape with an at sign instead of an A. Is vape like banned on Yahoo?
So that way it can't be.
It's actually pronounced vitape.
Hand me that vitape cigarette.
If you can be tracked from your human identity back to your Yahoo Answers identity, you have fucked up worse than anybody could fuck up.
That's
ever.
A good point. All right, let me finish reading the additional details. Personal questions such as when I did vitape, or when I was younger, I asked how to master. I don't have to finish that word. Master
Pokemon.
Pokemon bait. Master Pokemon bait. I don't have to finish that word. Lol. Well, I have asked some questions like that and such. Do colleges look at Yahoo Answers? And if they did, would they not accept me when I'm older, / not like me, / not approve me? I mean, if they did, they were just questions. Questions are the keys to your mind's development,
One,
though. So.
Whoever has to do that at a college has the worst job in the world.
Wow,
Two,
that's a bad job.
I want the answer to be not like you, but still accept you in the college. Like, yes, you can come here. Ugh. Oh, God. Look at you.
This person you've just described, Travis, who asked the Yahoo diver, Like, I'm imagining somebody just wearing fucking riot gear, just connected to a fucking, like, oxygen tank.
And I guess it's the logical conclusion of if, like, Drew and Rachel and Zoe Kinski went pro.
Yeah. Oh, God, they went fucking white hat. They're on the right side of the law now, surfing the deep web for dumb questions.
This is my brother and me civil war.
This is the sort of thing that, like, somebody would invent, like, an AI program to do data mining into Yahoo Answers to see if college applicants had ever asked how to masturbate or how to vatape. And then that program that you create to do that data mining would definitely become sentient and definitely kill humanity because it's seen the darkest, darkest side of us.
Right.
It's lived through the darkest universe.
I will answer the greatest Yahoo Answers question, how to protect humanity from itself.
Yeah, by annihilating it.
I think that was Robot Kennedy I just did.
I think it definitely was.
I loved it.
Ask not what you can error.
Logical fallacy.
I cannot imagine why can you even imagine being the person, like, not just the person who has to read them, but the person who has to connect the identities? Like, how would you even...
Oh, sorry, this guy, I'm actually, his Yahoo name loaded, is actually Steve Jefferson, Huntington High School class of 2016.
Okay.
So that's his username, so that
his
might actually
GPA
be pretty...
His GPA is on there?
His GPA is on here. Can I say something? His SAT and his ACT, wow. He fucked them both up. He did a really bad job on
both
tests.
Very substandard.
Like, really super bad.
All the stuff that we see in, like, movies and TV shows where it's, like, your extracurriculars and all that stuff, does that stuff actually matter? Like, I didn't, like, super do a great job applying to colleges and got into the University of Oklahoma because I was a National Merit Scholar. So I never really went through the application process. Is it that in-depth where they, like... would even care, like, do they even check, like, your Facebook profile? Do they care that much?
Oh, they definitely
just
do.
Like, you got money, you're not dumb, get in here.
Oh no, they definitely do a deep dive. 100% they are getting deep down in there.
You're sure?
Oh my God, yes. Oh, every single applicant, they do a full-blown deep dive. Oops, looks like you said a racist thing 3.5 years ago, you're out.
Well, then, they're like, listen, there are lots of kids in them colleges. There must be a pretty loose guy where they're like, okay,
we tick off
12 of these boxes.
No, that's why there's no racist kids in college anywhere.
Oh. That explains it. I've been wondering why they have
you say one racist thing
in colleges.
Unless you go to Racist U.
Yeah, there you're welcome with open arms.
Open racist arms.
I can't.
What if this person's
Racist
applying...
Racist U is actually my safety school.
What if this person is applying to Vape University? And
it shows some... Vaping and Baiting University, where they only teach you how to vape and bait, and you have shown a lack of proficiency with those topics.
Or no. Or you, because you got started in the game so young, maybe they might hire you to be like a TA or something like that.
I think whether or not a school's going to do this deep of a dive depends on the quality of school you are attending. For example, I live in Huntington and applied to Marshall. And if you live in Huntington and apply to Marshall, they're just like, yeah, cool, come on.
I'm like, they just assumed you were already going there.
Do you know Greg? You're in.
Yeah, cool, come on in. But, like, isn't it kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy where, like, if you are the sort of person that is combing Yahoo Answers for data about vaping and baiting, you are probably not looking at a top tier school. Like, is that inaccurate, you think?
That's hateful. Because you know what that means, Justin?
What?
This person's got a fucking curious and therefore beautiful mind. I'm not worried about the person.
Have you seen that movie Beautiful Mind where all he does is vape and bait?
and get on Yahoo Answers and make sure he's doing both as good as he possibly can.
I also enjoy that this gentleman is, or lady, is worried enough about this to ask Yahoo Answers, but not so worried about it that they're going to just delete their Yahoo Answers account. Like, I might need some of that information again. It's going to be
harder
if
they
don't
get into college. They need a place to learn things.
My non-hateful point, Justin, is this. I'm not worried about the person who gets on Yahoo Answers to learn how to optimize and streamline their jerking and their smirking, which is what I call vaping now. I'm not worried about that person. I'm worried about the person who does both for the first time and is like,
yeah, this seems about right.
And then they are lazy about it and they don't hone their craft. This person has a curious mind, a hungry mind. That's exactly the kind of person that I want attending my new program at Harvard. Welcome to the club, Stephen. And by club, I mean the school club. It's just a school.
Except it's called Vape and Bait.
Yeah.
Tyra went to Yale Business School, took some business classes there.
Yeah. And that's exactly true. Why I've decided to follow her into the fucking fungible battlefield.
My sister and her husband are a few years younger than my wife and I. We're all in our 20s. Whenever we're together, they complain about how poor they are at one point or another. In this neck of the woods, it's called poor mouthing. Is that an expression that's used?
Is that really a thing?
Yeah. Oh, Sydney's grandparents used to say it. She's told me.
It's just like saying you're poor when you're not?
Just saying you're poor. Like, just talking about being poor. Like, poor mouthing. Anyway, at the same time, I see them making expensive purchases. A huge telescope to look at the blood moon eclipse. An air rifle with the same caliber as a .22 rifle.
Tonight's the night, baby. We're going to kill the moon.
A huge telescope to look at the blood moon eclipse. An air rifle with the same caliber as a .22 rifle. Silver bullets. Some shackles. Wait a minute. These people are werewolf hunters.
But
I know for a fact they make a lot more money.
Wait, no, you skipped an important part of the puzzle.
Okay.
Another gift that they got.
The air rifle, and they got us really nice gifts for our new baby. But I know for a fact they make a lot more money than we do and don't have any right to complain to us. How do I get them to stop claiming they're poor when I know they're not? That's from Actually Poor in Atchison, Kansas.
I feel like it's just sort of a good rule of thumb to pretend in social situations with family and friends like money just does not exist.
Yeah, is that I feel like that was the thing that I was kind of raised, like, don't ask someone how much money they make. Don't talk about, like, how much money you have in your bank account.
We used to ask mom and dad, like, are we poor? Because they didn't, like, buy us stuff. Like, our spoiled friends would get, their parents would buy them stuff. And mom and dad would always, like, dodge the question. Be like, oh, shit, I don't know if we're poor or not. And now looking back, I see, like, of course we weren't poor. We just weren't fucking spoiled. Like, they didn't just buy us shit constantly.
Yeah. I worked at one of the many jobs I have worked. A dude on like his first day looked me in the face and said, how much do you get paid here? And it was like, oh, go fuck yourself. Like, I don't want to tell you at all. Like, what possible good could come from me discussing how much money I make?
I just tell people what tax bracket I'm in.
Three.
I'm in the third one. I'm in the third one. Which one are you?
Oh, I'm in blue.
I really don't think there's like, okay. The problem with engaging with this issue for you, question asker, is like you cannot, if you try to challenge them on like the telescope or the rifle, you're opening up a discussion that you severely do not want to have. Like the first time you challenge, like, maybe you aren't poor. Like that is going to be the rest of your afternoon.
Yeah, sure.
I needed that telescope for my work.
Well, and also what this is
as
like
a scientist.
As a moon hunter. This is also like a matter of like everybody's it's all relative, right? So like maybe they are poor because they're spending their disposable income on stuff like telescopes
they're
rifles
telescope
and shit.
Poor. Right. I've got all my money. Poor. I've got my money in telescope futures.
But like and so like if you sit there and go, you're not poor, they'd be like, yeah, like we can't afford to like fly to Hawaii and be like, okay, well, that doesn't mean you're poor, but to them, maybe it does.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So it's such a relative term that trying to argue with someone whether they are poor or not is like trying to argue with someone whether they're happy or not.
Yeah, maybe you know what I mean? They're so egregiously bad with money that they do not understand the direct correlation between buying telescopes and being poor. Like
I've gone over the finances 1,000 times. What is this here where 20% of your income is going to telescopes? Oh, but that's not negotiable.
That's in the telescope. See, we budgeted for telescopes.
Yeah.
Not the food.
We actually underspent on telescopes, if you can believe that.
Yeah, every week we saved it.
Every week they get an email from Mint. Or some other financial planner, just like what the fuck are you guys doing?
Credit with the telly that you have, just, like, a hoarding. It's a weird telescope
hey,
hoarding.
Hey, just a quick update. You spent a little bit more than you did last month on going out to eat. And also, stop buying so many fucking telescopes.
But you say that now, but when this sister alerts you to the fact that there's an asteroid heading to Earth and they reveal that they spent all of their money on an escape pod, you're going to be happy they're poor.
An escape pod from Earth made of telescopes. This is not airtight. It has
we
no
are
propulsion.
Going to die.
There's no propulsion system. And we're all going to die.
But we're broke.
But died we're broke, so whatever.
We died penniless. Good timing.
Justin, Travis, how much money do you guys have?
On me right now?
Yeah, how are you doing financially?
I have 40 Canadian dollars that for the life of me, I cannot fucking afford.
Bro, I was cleaning out my underwear drawer because I bought a new chest of drawers. So you know how Chiboy's doing. You know that new Drake song? I check out my new chest of drawers.
Uh-huh.
What if Drake only wrote songs that sort of obfuscated how he's doing financially? Like started from the bottom, and now I'm somewhere.
He just writes a song called Comfortable Lifestyle.
It started from the bottom. I'm not on the bottom anymore. You know what? Fuck it. The song is started from the bottom, now we're here. That can mean anything.
I preferred his follow-up song, and now I'm there.
And I'm there.
And you're there, maybe a little bit higher.
Maybe lower.
A little lower. It's hard to say.
It's hard to say.
Any given day, cash flow problems.
We all have cash flow problems. Mm-hmm. And then he's got that one that's like 1-800 hotline bling. And that sounds all about how now he's a little bit lower than he was last week because he bought so many fucking telescopes. But he loves them because he uses them to look back into Canada. He misses it so much, but he can't go back.
And he wanted to do that thing. He wanted to point two telescopes at each other and look down one telescope into the other telescope to see if he can see
what's going on, how telescopes work.
Yeah. My sister and her husband, Drake, keep buying telescopes and complain about how poor they are.
Should we go to the money zone so we can get some telescope scratch?
Yeah, absolutely. I could use for a new scope.
I don't know why we're so concerned about money, because we're all about to be trillionaires.
Because of the...
We're all about to be chameleonaires. Because we've learned how to work that hallway like it is a runway.
We want to advertise our new beautainment business with a new website. Where can I turn for something like that? I don't know anything about anything.
Yeah, you are a big dumb animal. But I'd recommend going to Squarespace. I mean, Squarespace, you know them. You've seen their beautiful commercials. Those are some aesthetically pleasing commercials. I don't know if you guys are getting those in your regions. But I see those commercials and I go, damn, that's a well-made commercial. Anyway, My Brother, My Brother, Me is brought to you in part by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform. Squarespace sites, they look professionally designed, regardless of your skill level. No coding required, no coding needed. You can start your free trial today. No credit card required. Nothing is required of you.
No jacket required.
No jacket required. Actually,
if you
want
to make a fan site to the Phil Collins album, No Jacket Required, you can do that on squarespace.com.
Yeah, and you also don't need to know anything about the album No Jacket Required. Nothing is required of you.
Please send me a link to that site if you make it.
Go to squarespace.com. Please make a website about No Jacket Required that is obviously coming from you, a place of you never having heard the album, knowing nothing about Phil Collins, knowing nothing about his line of music.
I need a track by track breakdown with the actual track listings.
I want that as my fucking homepage, and I want it made in Squarespace. Just go to squarespace.com, use the offer code MYBROTHER, all one word, and you'll get 10% off your first purchase. Squarespace, build it beautiful.
Underpants.
Oh, good.
I'm trying to keep it fresh because we've talked about MeUndies. We told you that they're the most amazing underpants on the planet.
If you want to keep it fresh, I recommend putting MeUndies on.
MeUndies.
It's like a fucking refrigerator crisper drawer for your bits.
MeUndies.
Ooh, God, no.
Oh, let's do this. I'll say MeUndies, and then you guys throw in a tagline. You ready?
Yeah.
MeUndies.
Put your dick in the crisper.
MeUndies.
They're like hammocks for your ding dong.
There we go.
Both of those were for men. We need.
Okay, let's try one more.
For women. Mina products.
Okay. MeUndies.
Push your vagina in a crisper.
Nice. If you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, You get 20% off your first order. And listen, we talk a lot of bullshit on this show, you guys.
Constantly.
A lot of bullshit. But it is not bullshit when I say MeUndies are easily my favorite thing I've ever put on my body.
Yesterday, I bought a new chest of drawers. Did you guys hear the news?
I heard about that Drake song. Griffin's chest of drawers by Drake.
Bought a new chest of drawers. And I moved all my stuff over, and I deliberately put my MeUndies at the top of my collection, just so like when I open I look like fucking. I look like Robert. That's probably what Robert Downey Jr.'s underwear drawer.
MeUndies
like.
Sent me some new product.
What the fuck?
Lounge pants made from MeUndies material. Suck it. I forgot to tell you guys. Suck it.
Why didn't I get that?
They sent me undies. Wear my pants.
They sent to Sydney and I, and they are amazing. Imagine if you could just wear underwear to Kroger. Now you can't. Thanks, MeUndies.
I got a personal message here. Did we do the thing? Go to MeUndies.com/mybrother. Get 20% off your first order if you don't love them. Your first pair is going to be free, but you're going to love them. So shut up. I got a personal message here.
Is it the one for Jackson Cusack?
Yeah, for the Jacksack.
Is it the one from Jason Yu, or is it a different one?
Yeah, from the Jace Yu for the Jacksack.
We often get personal messages that have in-jokes in them between the two people. I think this one sets the record for, like, highest number of in-jokes.
This is thought spaghetti, is what this is.
You're today's soft rock. The Ewok wizard on my skateboard. The Spider-Man on my Canada Day. Don't let the Coke take your blue steel and sex appeal. VV will always be there with polar bears fishnets. Faux afterwards and fire. Never stop goofing. Keep it going.
Now, what I really hope is that Jackson listened to that and was like, What the fuck are you talking about? Are you having aphasia? Like, that doesn't...
Can I do another one that's like real, like Jacksack's gonna get some like actual information out of?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Jacksack, it's your boy Jason Yu. Thanks for coming with me on that trip to Boulder, Colorado 3 weekends ago. I had a really good time, and I agree with everything that you said about patriotism.
Thanks for vibing and keeping it tight.
Thanks for vibing and keeping it tight. If you need me, I'll hit me on my Moby. And also,
if you need me, I'll be hanging out with Moby.
And also, I love you. You're a good friend, Jacksack.
A message for Lauren from Seamus. It says, "Hi, Banana Bread. Happy anniversary." That was very enthusiastic. Let me try.
Hi, Banana Bread.
Hi, Banana Bread.
Hola, Banana Bread.
Happy anniversary and birthday to my favorite person in the world. I can't wait to fly cross country with you to Vancouver to see MBMBM live.
Holy shit. That was in August. That was 2 calendar months ago.
I'm sorry. You did wait, in fact, to do that. You're the best. People, we've warned you before. Stop. Like, don't even reference who the president is. Like, I hope you're getting this at a time and we're both still alive. Well, good times or not are had by some or all. Hi, can you believe that did or didn't happen together for not forever?
I'm glad we were allowed to commune for 1 hour under the laws of President Beebleborp, the robot that controls humanity.
You're the best and I love you. P.S. Vancouver is dripping with Tim Hortons locations, so you will not go wanting for a crueler.
Man, that last day we were in Vancouver, Justin, you had to leave super early in the morning.
Yep.
But Travis and Teresa and I tried to get in on this fancy restaurant to get like a fancy brunch. They had like fancy Belgian waffles and I was very excited about it. It's called Medina. Vancouverites. I'm sure you've been there and you love it. And it's downpouring and there's such a long line and we were so miserable. And we're like, fuck it, turn the corner. Tim Hortons right there. Caught us up in its loving arms. I ate it and I had the strength of 10 men all day. All day.
I'm Dave Holmes, and if you've been missing my show, International Waters, you've been missing this.
If there's one thing I know about owls, They are wise. Two things. They are wise.
Yes.
They love nightclubs.
They wear tiny graduation motorboards, and they love nightclubs.
They also do the best double takes of all birds of prey.
And if you slow it down, they actually go...
International Waters, a panel show where U.S. and U.K. comedians battle for pop culture supremacy. Subscribe right now on iTunes or at MaximumFun.org.
How about a Yahoo? Yeah. You know you want this shit.
Yeah, okay, fine.
This Yahoo was sent in by Level 9000 Yadru Drew at Drew Davenport. Thank you, Drew. It's by Yadru Answers user Lele, who asks, how did you learn how to beatbox? I'm really trying to learn the basic sounds, but the only thing I can't do is the N-word snare. Well, I don't think I'm doing it right, at least. What are some websites or videos to watch? Justin Travis, I put the question to you. Because I'll tell you, Beautytainers, there is a performance element to it.
I don't think anyone should do the N-word snare.
Travis! N-ward.
Oh.
God.
I don't even know what that sound is.
Justin does this fun thing whenever he's on set with Biz, where he just eats spaghetti, and while he has that spaghetti in there, while he's eating that Olive Garden to go, he does it with the pasta in and around his mouth. It's really fucking incredible.
I just made that sound, and it made the side of my tongue buzz. Really weird.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Yeah,
I can't unfeel it.
Yeah, that's music, cool. Baby. That's the music. Leaving your body, that's your tongue orgasming with the pleasure of creating. That's
how does anyone learn how to beatbox? Are there beatboxing school? Are there like beatboxing dojos?
If it's anything, it's a dojo, yes.
I'm pretty sure they just sneeze over and over again and think, well, that sounds good. I'll try to do that one.
Wait, do that again, Sneezy
Steve.
Do
that again, Sneeze.
Sneeze wouldn't be an especially creative name.
I told you, my beatbox name is Pussneeze. I've told you guys so many times.
Shut up, Drake.
Puss sneeze?
Puss sneeze. There's an apostrophe. It's like a pizone, I think.
I think this is probably one of the many things you can learn to do on YouTube. Things I learned on YouTube. I fixed my garbage disposal the other day. Just got up the
while learning to beatbox?
Yeah. I had them going on two different devices. I was like fixing up this hole in the sink.
I guarantee with the sheer amount of shit that's on YouTube, you could Google, teach me how to both Dougie beatbox and fix my garbage disposal at the same time, and you would get like 10 hits.
Yeah. From like Expert Village.
Hi, my name is Philip.
Hi, it's Expert Village. Hi, this is Philip from Expert Village. Watch me do. And we're done.
Now, Griffin, it sounds like you were doing a combination of beatboxing and scatting.
Which one of the three of us do you think is the best beatboxer?
Probably
you.
Me.
I think it's Justin, hands down.
I just imagined in my head when I said that. When I just said that, I imagined in my head the image of a YouTube. No, sorry.
Have you been to JaTube?
Been to JaTube yet? No, the image of a YouTube clip began when I said that. Like, that is the beginning of this slam dunk bit. Which one of us is the best beatboxer? That is the question that I pose to you.
Well, I think Justin. I've never heard you beatbox before that I can remember.
I've never heard any of the three of us beatbox in my life.
I bet it's you.
Including and not limited to myself. I've never heard myself beatbox. So this is largely a theoretical discussion.
I can do the, you know, like the bass drum hits, you know, boom, 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 that kind of thing. But that's more like a heavy hand knocking on a door. I could do the record scratch. But I'd have to warm up first.
Can I try?
Yes.
I gotta drop it. I gotta get my lips really, really wet. All right, here I go.
Everybody sing. Griffin, are you proud of yourself right now?
Great. Now we can't even sell ads against this hit bit. This on YouTube, on JaTube.
Hold on, wait, let me try again.
Kevin. Wow. Kevin, that's funny. You don't have like a Kevin.
Hold on, I'm still working on it.
You don't remember me, but we used to work together. I never worked in a funeral home. There's something I can leave for you, Slick.
Point. Hold on, it's coming.
We're the men in black. We have a situation and we need your help.
And that's the thing that I say every time before I beatbox.
Griffin, are you just watching Men in Black? What is that?
Anyway, that's just one of the many routines that I picked up on at school.
The Griffin, I just gotta say, that was excellent.
Thank you.
Let me just try one, okay?
Okay, super cool. Quick. Here we go.
Hi. I'm the baby, brand new, just out. Gotta love me, come on. Gotta love me.
Justin, that just sounds like
I'm the baby, brand new, just out. Gotta love me, come on. Gotta love me.
So that just sounds like the dinosaur, baby dinosaur from Dinosaurs. All right.
That's the lead.
Okay, now I would like to do one here.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't have my computer sound hooked up, Griffin, so if you could edit in some beatboxing here, in post, that would be great.
Yeah, I'm not going to remember.
Okay, just I'll make, we'll leave a moment of silence here for you to edit it in.
And then let's leave an extra moment of silence just for this episode. Just like in remembrance of it. Because it died.
The moment of silence begins now.
Okay, because it died.
You gotta be silent.
Okay.
The moment of silence.
In the arms of the angel, fly away from me.
Oh, I spit on my pop filter.
Fuck. My dad loves playing the piano. It's his absolute favorite thing to do, and he plays all the time. Problem is, he's so god awful at it. He's been playing. Please fix my bad piano, Dad, brothers. See, that's all you need to say.
Give him new piano hands.
Please, sweet brothers, give my papa new piano hands. Please fix his bad piano.
He's got these stupid piano hands. He's smart piano hands. Bionic dad.
He's been playing ever since I can remember and has never improved. My mother agrees. We would say something, but my dad is really sensitive. Even asking if he could stop playing because I'm trying to take a nap hurts his feelings.
What the fuck?
How can I find a way to get my dad to start playing less often or hint at this without hurting his feelings? I'm moving out in about 3 years, and I don't know if I can last that long.
Oh, my
Sincerely,
God.
Billy Joel Jr.
No.
No, that's from Bitter Daughter in beautiful British Columbia, Canada.
That's
amazing. I love the combination
question.
Of an overly sensitive and really bad at piano dad.
Yeah. Hey, Dad.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a great job in there, but it's 4 a.m. Do you think you could maybe keep it down a little bit? keep on rocking in the free world.
Thank you.
Bling, 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 bling. And now, kids, gather around the old key box. Because Daddy's got a special surprise. It's Canon and D. I figured out how to do Canon and D. Here it goes. Squinky dink 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 dingly dink. Squinkle dink 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 dinkle dunk. Dink donk donk ding donk donk dink. Squink dink link dink ding ding.
Hey, Dad, did you hire the DJ for my quinceanera? Oh, no need, darling. I'm going to play all the hits of today on my old finger guitar here.
Sing along if you know this one. Play us the song, you're the piano dad. Bling, 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 bling.
Bling, bling, bling. Don't you know anything more modern?
This is the sound of penguins. Bling, bling,
bling, bling. I can do cheerleader.
Do you kids like cheerleader?
Bling, 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 bling. This is basically you're being held as an emotional hostage. And you really, I know I've said this before, your dad has set up quite the honeypot for you here, an emotional honeypot. You do need to pack your bags and move away. You definitely, that's the only solution for you. Your dad has constructed the perfect trap, because playing piano isn't, I think it's even like, there's something implicit when you're playing guitar for somebody, that is an act of courage, because while you're playing guitar, you are almost certainly going to be staring the person dead in the face. That is like a cruel thing you're doing to the person because it forces them to react to your show. Piano, I think there's something implicit that where if people don't like it, you don't see it until you turn around. So
yeah,
it feels
sure.
like more of a betrayal, I think. Like they were always, like almost by definition, laughing behind your back.
I think, you know, it's pretty late in the year now. And I think something we may have all forgotten is that it's 2015.
The oh my God, it's been 6 months since we've said those words.
And here's the plan. One day, while your dad's playing piano, you're going to say, you know, it sounds a little out of tune. And he's going to go, what, really? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. It just sounds like we need to get a piano tuner in here. But here's the thing. You and the piano tuner are in cahoots. The piano tuner comes in and says, oh, yeah, this is, like, dangerously worn wire. If you keep playing this, it could explode. Or whatever the equivalent of a piano breaking
no,
is.
No, pianos can explode. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Tune them, because they're under a lot of high tension.
Tune them too tight, yeah. it tears itself apart.
And he says, I can't tune this, and I also can't allow you to keep playing it. My creed as a piano tuner doesn't allow me to leave this dangerous object here. We're going to have to take it away.
Problem is, as soon as he says that, Dr. Strings pops in. He's like, I got it! Like, God damn it, Dr. Strings, not again.
Not again.
Dr. Strings, hold on. Dr. Strings, can you come over here?
Yeah, sure. What's crack-a-lackin'?
Dr. Strings, listen, can you fucking lock it down for a fucking second, Dr. Strings? I'm trying to grift my dad.
I'd love to, but you know my jam. I follow around other piano tutors and try to give a better rate.
Dr. Strings needs to get his beak wet.
It's the old get rid of the piano from the emotionally sensitive dad scam. I'm into it. Give me a cool $30 and my help is yours.
I can't do anything about that there key box, but I can do something about that daddy.
What are you saying, Dr. Strings?
No, just watch me go. Dr. Strings, are you choking the life out of my father?
I'm tuning him. No. That's not. No, you're killing him.
Please, you're killing him. Stop.
I'm your daddy now.
You're never going to be my
Strings,
dad. Dr.
Strings, please.
Please, Dr. Strings, don't kill my dad.
I should have never let you out of that lamp. What?
Fuck, Dr. Strings.
Who's going to take this body away?
Hey, it's me.
I'm Dr. Body.
I'm Dr. Body. You got a body here? Oh, the old bad piano-sensitive dad called Dr. Strings. I get it. I'm there with you. Another body, Dr. Strings. Someday I'm going to get here before you. Hey, why I'm here? Do you need the piano tune? I'm trying to pick up some extra cash.
That was terrifying.
Why did Dr. Strings kill? I really enjoyed the Dr. Strings character until he killed that guy's dad.
Yeah. Yeah, that was rough. That was a bad break for Dr. Strings. Here's another
read the next. No, read the next. I really like the next one, and I want Justin to react to it.
Okay.
I just knocked my roommate's toothbrush off the sink and into what can only be described as a hellish, hellish garbage can.
That's a good priorities.
Oh, my God. No, I have to email the brothers.
What can I do? No toothbrush cover thing. No nothing. Just virgin bristles.
Ugh.
And to make it work, does anybody use toothbrush covers? Is that a thing?
No, God.
I gotta put a little helmet on him.
It seems like that would be a breeding ground for bacteria anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to make it worse, moments before, I ran the vacuum cleaner over his phone charger and basically shredded that thing like sharp cheddar. Now I find myself in a quandary. Do I come clean on either of these misdemeanors? The charger is probably necessary to reimburse for some shit, but how about the toothbrush? SOS. That's from Toothbrushless in Tejas.
Do you guys remember that season? I think it was Real World, where somebody was acting a fool, and so they took that person's toothbrush and they scrubbed the toilet with it. And then it's like the only time I've ever seen in a reality show, like a producer came in and was like, hey, straight up,
you gotta have to just stop.
You can't use that toothbrush because it got kind of gnarly. Can you believe that actually happened?
I don't normally intercede here.
In today's reality show market, they would just like film it. Like, yeah, let's see it.
Yeah,
let's see him put that. Boy. Let's see him put that poopy.
Let's
in his
see
mouth.
Him get like all kinds of disease.
I want to see him get poopy mouth.
They probably edit in some funny sound effects. Like, well, it's time to brush my teeth.
Yeah,
like a fart. Here's what you do. This is a really easy one, okay? Right now you have a problem because you have done two bad things. That's not good. That's not great. Here's what
one
I think
one bad thing's
do.
An accident. Two seems definitely two like you have malicious definite. Intent.
Here's what you need to do. You need to get into your house and mess up everything you can. Overturn the tables, up in the milk, take the flowers out of the pot and throw them on the ground.
Explode the piano.
Explode the piano. And then do you know
kill
what
his
you
dad.
Do? And then you kill his dad. And then you know what you do? You go and you get Marmaduke. And you get Marmaduke in the house. So when he shows up, you're just like, have your hands in your head like, Marmaduke, no, stop. And you get just, it's all the Duke. That's
but
all.
In all of that, you also just put the toothbrush back and don't tell him.
Yeah, you put the toothbrush back. Wait.
Okay,
yes.
Just some three inconsistencies.
There's no inconsistencies with the Marmaduke.
No, I've got three off the top of my lid.
Okay, got it.
Number one.
Okay.
How did Marmaduke put the toothbrush back? I get him knocking it off, but for him to put
it
back.
He didn't put it back. That was an insane thing that Travis said. That's that doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Number two.
Okay.
How he ran the vacuum cleaner?
He thinks he's people.
And I know what he thinks, but like,
the roommate was running the vacuum cleaner, and Marmaduke was like, hey, I'll put this cord in there. And then he just sucked the cord up.
Okay, now I've got another fucking inconsistency because Marmaduke definitely didn't speak human English.
Do you honestly fucking think that if you get home and to find that Marmaduke has like upended your whole existence, you're going to Hercule Poirot individual clues? It doesn't make any sense.
Justin, not right away. Not right away. But it will burn in his brain. Yeah. And 2 years later, he'll be like, hey, do you remember when Marmaduke was in our apartment and like trashed? How did he run the vacuum?
Hey, also, at some point, shouldn't we get separate bedrooms? This seems weird to me. Well, good night.
Number four. Just wrecking shit wasn't Marmaduke's thing. He thought he was people, and he was like a silly boy, and he would like sit on the couch like, look at me, I'm a big silly man. He thought he was people, but he wasn't Dennis the fucking Menace. He wasn't the Tasmanian devil. You know what I mean?
Would it have been better? Is Beethoven more palatable
Fuck
to you,
me,
Griffin.
I was thinking of Beethoven.
You were thinking of Beethoven
God
that whole time, weren't
damn
you?
Damn it. Let me try again.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, so here's what you do. Right now, your problem is you only have two things that are messed up.
Uh-huh. And right? If it's two things, it's intentional.
Yeah, two things, it's intentional. But what you're going to need to do is ruin everything in your house, right? Like, flip your TV over.
Oh, and then go get Beethoven.
Is that what you wanted?
I've been poached. Griffin edited out the first one, and now there's just this one, and my moment is gone. I've been joke poached. Travis is going to register that. Travis is going to register by tomorrow on the Max Fun store. You're going to have, and then you get Beethoven t-shirts. Uh-huh. And it's going to have Travis's face coming out of it. Son of a bitch.
On the front page of the Financial Times. Now, Travis, how did you make your billions? Well, it was my Beethoven, what'd you do shirts. So hold on. Wait, you made licensed shirts based on the dog movie franchise Beethoven, and they didn't?
No, nobody came for it. I don't know.
It was weird. Now, that I've seen rumors online that your brother Justin was like, these rumors are false and libelous and scandalous.
I no longer speak to my brother.
We do still do the show,
do the show, yes. But this
we just never directly address each other. It's the two of us talking to Griffin.
That's
you know, it's funny. If you look back over all the episodes, Justin and Travis never actually speak to each other.
It's true, Trav.
Wait, oh, shit.
Broken up. Let's end the program.
God, nothing would make me happier than that.
I'm feeling good. Considering the last like episode that the three of us did, we were so fucking down in the dumps, tired after coming back from LA PopFest. This is a 180 degree turnaround. Thank you all for being patient with us while we fucking soaked in the hot tub for a while.
We rewarded your patience with that effort with a best of. It's just like
it was that weekend was fucking insane.
I've seen a lot of people like tweeting and asking about it. Like I know the schedule has been off for like the last 2 months where we've been putting up episodes like Tuesday morning and late Monday night and all that shit. But like
we're getting it back together.
It's not going to be a regular thing. August and September were crazy
because I feel the same way that like. It's really important to me that podcasts be there like when I'm expecting them, right? Like I've got my week sort of like laid out for how far each podcast has to carry me. And I know that's frustrating when a podcast you like doesn't show up when you expect it to. So we are genuinely sorry. That is the one contract that we have with you.
Yeah.
And we have failed you in that regard. So we are very sorry for that.
But
this will be up on Wednesday though.
So my apologies. This one's going to go up on Thursday, which is not even a day.
It's Flirty Thursday.
It's Flirty Thursday. Hey, what's up? TGIF.
Nope.
We want to say thanks again to MeUndies. MeUndies are dedicated to offering the most comfortable underwear, and I feel they've succeeded. If you go to MeUndies.com/mybrother, you'll get 20% off your first order and 100% on your genitals.
I want you all to, this week, if you have a chance, if there's a Maximum Fun show you haven't listened to, give it a shot. Give it a listen. We actually did an episode of Jordan, Jesse, Go! Last week. That was our Switch episode, and it was so fun, and we talked about grinding down Fred Savage into dust and baking him into bread. Yep. It was a real hootenanny. We did it with our friend Chuck Bryant. That's a good show for you to go listen to.
We also did the Flophouse with our dad.
Yeah,
we did the Flophouse. Where we talked about Leprechaun Origins.
You might have missed that because it went up on Saturday. And if you're doing stuff this weekend, you may have missed it. But yeah, our Flophouse episode is up. But all of the shows are really great. And we are really, we love being a part of this network. It is a great thing for us to be a part of. I'm excited about the shows that we do, but I'm also like really excited about being a part of this bigger thing that I really I think we're all on the same page, just like really love. So yeah, go listen to the other shows.
I would like to say a pretty huge thank you to Jeremy Baker. Jeremy Baker, when I lamented that we had not been to Disneyland yet. He hooked me up with a couple passes, and Teresa and I went for our anniversary. Yeah, he had some employee passes, and Teresa and I spent our 2-year wedding anniversary at Disneyland, and it was absolutely magical, and it was really, really great. And so we wanted to say thank you to Jeremy, and we really appreciated the hookup. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. That's real sweet. I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. You can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it wherever music is sold. It's a really, really
You should also just treat yourself and go down a rabbit hole. Go on YouTube and just, like, search John Roderick and watch every... I found this thing he did where he was, like, just playing in someone's living room, and they, like, filmed it really nice. And he does a version of King of Carrot Flowers.
Oh,
that's yeah, it's incredible. Highly recommend it. We haven't mentioned in a while. We have the My Brother and Me Facebook group. Go check that out. And also follow us on Twitter at MBMBAM.
It's not MBMBAM, the fan page. There's two things. I don't know why, but you want the My Brother and Me, what is it, appreciation group? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
As long as we're plugging stuff, I also do want to plug Justin and I do a series for Polygon called Monster Factory, in which we play video games and we make horrible looking mutant beings in the character creators. We're gonna have a new episode up today where we played Bloodborne and we made a toucan man who hates guns. It's an episode with a really great message. Anyway, you can find that on Polygon's YouTube channel. It'll go up sometime today.
I'm also gonna plug then Can I Pet Your Dog?
Yes.
The podcast I produce on MaximumFun.org. We just had an episode with Anne Wheaton.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, who many people will know from the internet and such. She was absolutely wonderful, absolutely lovely. Talked a lot about all the dog-related charities and stuff that her and her husband Will participate in. And she was a really great guest. And so go check out that episode. Go check out all the episodes. I think you'll really, really like them. It's a really great show.
Got a final Yahoo here. I'm sitting by Yahoo Answers. Drew Davenport. Fuck, I fucked that up. Anyway, thanks, Drew. It's by Yahoo Answers user. Sorry something has gone wrong. Shonda asks.
Shonda Rhyme
asks. Who invented Crash Bandicoot?
My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother May Kiss Your Dad Square on the Lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hello, I'm Taku, the elven magician.
Merle Highchurch here, the master of clerical magic.
I'm Magnus Burnsides, the fighter.
Did you guys like that? Did you, the listener, like that? You were just swept up in a world of high fantasy and magic where anything can happen and anything is possible. Hi, I'm Griffin McElroy, Dungeon Master for The Adventure Zone, a new podcast on Maximum Fun, in which magic and mystery intertwine for a very erotically charged role-playing experience. You can catch it every other Thursday here on MaximumFun.org or iTunes. It's for Dungeons & Dragons, but with family.